three months after the pastor knocked on the door, she was going to church. And I would just make fun of her. I would blast her. I'd call her a holy roller. I just a mean, miserable man. And I thank God for her faithfulness, because one day she just asked me, "Do you want to go?" I'm here with this guy. She goes, "You know, the thing that got me is," she said, "he preaches a King James Bible like I've never heard." And when I was in prison, Old Time Baptist Church used to come in on Thursday nights and they would preach. Every Thursday night in prison. So I started getting into a King James Bible at that point. I did not get saved, but they sure planted a seed. And it was years later, John asked with Cain preaching the King James Bible. Like, I'd never heard of it. And when she said he preaches it that way, it just piqued my interest, because I remember back at Old Time Baptist, preaching that King James Bible in prison. Matter of fact, it was them preaching that King James Bible that made me leave the game. It made me leave that game. I said, "You know what? I want what these guys have. I don't want this gang life anymore." And it was at that point that I went and approached them people and told them that I no longer want to be part of this. There's a whole lot more longer story than that. But anyway, it was at that point that seed was planted in me. And it wasn't until John Ashwood came preaching that King James Bible. She said, "He preaches the King James Bible like I've never heard."
Amen.
I said, "Well, let me go hear this guy. Let's go see what's going on." Oh, brother. Here we are 8 years later. Saved, born again from a man who loves Jesus Christ and just preached the King James Bible to lost people.
Amen.
You know, Brother Haynes, Pastor Haynes had something to do with it. We were going to his church for Reformers Unanimous. It was an Alcoholics Anonymous program and all this and that. You know, it was really a bunch of baloney, but Pastor Haynes had it right. He ran it right.
Good.
He ran it so right that it was at that meeting that me and my wife understood for the first time we were lost.
What about that?
We went up to our pastor, I mean, in tears. Big old nasty old tattooed dude, I'm crying on my pastor's porch. "Pastor!" He said, "What?" I said, "I'm lost." He said, "No." He said, "I know you are." He already knew, you know. But, God is good like that, you know. And I sat underneath for another 3 years of preaching. A lot of people, brothers, they come up, they have a broken spirit and a broken heart, but they don't have the contrition that only Jesus Christ can bring.
Right.
People feel sorry for things when they come up to the altar. But they're not at that place of contrition where Jesus Christ has to bring them to. You read Psalm 51:17, it says a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart.
Right.
These God will not despise. It's that contrition that's missing in the sinners today. They feel bad for what they've done. God showed them something about themselves. And then some man comes in and boom, blocks the Holy Ghost and stops them.
Sure.
Right before that contrition comes and that person gets off their knees and leaves just as well lost as they when they walked in this place. You see, people need to step back and let God do his work and let him finish that. Let him bring them to the people. So anyway, it took 3 years for the Lord, and it's because of my knuckleheadedness that I didn't see it. But what a long-suffering and loving God to take his time and strive with me for those years, sitting there. He could have pulled the plug on me and sent me straight to hell. Think about that. For 3 years sitting underneath his preaching in a church, he could have pulled the plug on me. But yet, that's not what he chose. He chose to save me.
Amen.
Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 9. I just want to do it. I want to hit something. We preach on the dead man's bones. I just want to hit a few things. Because I know there's people sitting in this church today, and there's people sitting in Black Creek and wherever else they are, and they're clinging onto so many things out there. They're clinging onto this, they're clinging on to music, and they're clinging onto work and money, and they're clinging on to family. They're reaching out, and they're reaching for everything.
All right.
Except for Jesus Christ. And I just want to share a few things about, let's go with me to Matthew 9. Let's go to verse 20, if you would. And we're going to read two verses here. And then I'm going to read something. It says, Matthew 9, 20. It says, "Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came from behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole, and the woman was made whole from that hour. This woman had an issue for 12 years. No matter what was going on, or what people thought of her, she reached for the hem of Jesus' garment. She reached for the healing and the cleansing, and she got it. She was not going to allow people, this world, or the circumstances get in her way of the cleansing and healing of Jesus Christ. Today, everybody's out there reaching for everything, and they're not reaching for the hem of Jesus' garment. There's healing and reaching. Well, people say, well, he's not around. How can you reach for the hem of his garment? Get to reaching.
That's right.
Get to reaching. It's right here. There's healing in this thing.
Sure.
He's sitting there waiting. He wants you to reach for it. He knows it. If you go on and read it, it says, and the woman, which was diseased with the issue of blood for 12 years. I understand what she went through. Why? Because I was diseased for 40 years.
Right.
I had that issue and I could not get rid of it. No matter what psychiatrist I went to, no matter what mental doctor I went to, no matter what rehab I went to, no matter what street gang I went to, no matter what drug or whatever was going on, my issue was never taken care of. I carried that issue with me.
That's right.
And it wasn't until a man started preaching the Bible saying, reach. Reach for Jesus Christ. Listen to me. I'm just going to tell you this one thing, brother. The Lord showed me a couple weeks ago. People understand Jesus, but they understand him as a Christmas story, and they understand him as a man. They do not understand him as Jesus Christ the Savior.
That's right. Right.
Right. They don't want the healing he has. Why? Because they believe he's just another man that's going to hurt them. Just another man that's going to abandon them and hurt them and turn their back on them. They don't want that. Well, they just look at him and they go, oh, he's just a Christmas story that we see on the cards once in a while. Oh, no. Jesus Christ is more than a Christmas story.
Thank God.
He's more than just the man that walked the face of this earth. He's the Savior. He's the healer. He's that one that she reached for and got the healing. She reached for the hem of his garment.
Sir.
You know, people, just look around today. And how many people do you know that are reaching everywhere else? But I don't see them in these pews reaching for the hem of Jesus Christ.
That's it.
You want healing? Young people, you want to know what healing is? I can tell you what healing is. It's the same thing that lady who got issue of blood for 12 years, she got it from Jesus Christ. There was nothing else that could do it.
That's right.
Nothing. For the young boys, a woman won't do that for you. I can tell you that right now.
That's right.
Alcohol and all that garbage out there fornicating, it won't do it for you.
That's right.
I guarantee you won't do it for you. Yeah. Turn it to the musics and whatever else, it's not going to do it for you.
Nope.
Work is not, listen, you can work until your fingers are raw, but it's not going to make you forget. That money's not going to get you into heaven. I have a father-in-law who I love dearly. It's Amy's dad. And that money is his strong tower. He thinks he cannot be touched by Jesus Christ. I'm just going to tell you that right now. It's going to be a sad day when he wakes up. Me and my wife, he knows I'm a preacher. He brags, oh, this is the preacher boy. This is the preacher. That's what he calls me. I mean, whatever he wants to call me. I'm just glad he likes me because for all the years he didn't like me.
Right.
But he's seen the change that Jesus Christ had in my life. He still rejects Jesus Christ. He still rejects the way I serve him. But anyway, I was able to give a witness to my stepfather, or my father-in-law and my mother-in-law. And yet, they see what he done for me and their daughter. And yet they reject. They won't reach for the hand of Jesus Christ. Her stepmother, stage 4 cancer, I mean, just things are brutal. I sat down, I said, Amy, that's it. The Lord put it on my heart. I said, your dad won't sit here and he won't let me talk to him face to face. I said, I'm going to wait. I think I sent 7 or 8 page email on Jesus Christ, and salvation, so on and so forth. And I just, whatever the Lord put on my heart, I put it in there. Good. And I said, let's send it to them both. We sent it to them both. Never got a response, and I'm all right with that.
Right.
But I'll tell you, the Lord put it was such a burden. If I did not put that, I felt like I was going to explode. Like, I mean, the Lord's just going to absolutely kick me around until I got that done. So I got it done, and then we just said, we're going to pray and pray and pray. And so she got good news the other day. This lady has stage 4 cancer, but what they've done is that things are going so well after two things of chemo that they pushed back the chemotherapy. Now they pushed it off for another month. A CAT scan shows that it's regressing. She's not yet in remission, but close to it. And do you think that she would glorify God for that thing? She still wouldn't turn to Jesus Christ, even in the midst of that, would she? They still didn't come to Jesus Christ for that. They still didn't reach. Jesus didn't have to necessarily heal her physically.
Right.
But her soul is just as hurt as her body is. She's lost. I have family members who witnessed who I was. They saw what I was. They saw the man that I was. They need help. They have issues. They need healing. They won't come to Jesus Christ. They absolutely will spit in his face. Mm. Literally. She knows that. And it hurts me.
Sure.
It hurts me. But it doesn't mean I give up.
Right.
You know why I'm going to tell you why I don't give up on? Because Jesus sure ain't.
Amen.
He hasn't yet? No, he hasn't. Because if they were, I think they'd be reprobate or dead. I really believe that. He hasn't given up. They're breathing. There's hope. I believe that. But you know, people push it too far, brother. They push the Lord too far. That's it. He hardens their necks. Difference. It says, then destruction comes without remedy.
Yeah.
Could you imagine standing there knowing there's no remedy for your destruction because of your hardness and what you did towards God? These people are trapped in that stuff. Brother McVeigh, there's no remedy for us. That's what it says. There's no remedy.
That's right.
It's over with.
Right.
I know that's scary for me.
Sure.
Anyway, let me just go on to this here. I'm just going to take a few minutes. On the Old Testament law, turn with me if you would to Leviticus 15. Let me just show you something in Leviticus. You know, that's how I study. It's how I do things. I love it. It's Jesus Christ actually went to the Old Testament here and knew some stuff. Remember, he said, I didn't come to destroy the law and prophets, but to fulfill.
Right.
So I'm going to show you where he knew some things, but yet anyway. He was in the process of the New Testament. He's in the process of fulfilling. Leviticus 15, verse 19. Leviticus 15, 19. It says, if a woman have an issue and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be cooked
right.
apart 7 days, and whatsoever touches her shall be unclean until the evening. What's that?
Right.
So, here we go. She knew she was unclean through the law. She also knew the only way to be clean and whole would be Jesus. She sought him out until she found him, and she was made whole. Jesus knew she was unclean through the law. He also knew that she had to see it and come to him. And when she did, she was made whole. She had to understand her dirtiness before she could come to Jesus Christ. She had to understand her uncleanness.
Right.
And when she did, she understood, the only way I'm going to get this is if I get to Jesus. When she understood that, she went a running.
Right. Right.
And Jesus Christ knew. You know, let me tell me, if you think Jesus Christ didn't know his own law, that if he got touched by a woman, he knew that uncleanness was going to be transferred to him. But that's why he died. That's why he didn't run the cross. He took your uncleanness to that cross with him. That's what he did.
Amen.
He made it so that we could come up and we could touch the hem of his garment, and he turned around and go, thy faith hath made thee whole. You're whole. He took it upon himself. You don't bear that anymore. He fulfilled scripture by going on that cross and taking it. It's over. Listen, those sins that I've done in the past, they're forgiven. It's over with. He took that. It's done. I don't have to bear them anymore. He took that on the cross and he fulfilled it. He took it from me. It's over with. This is why I have a new heart, a clean conscience, a new life. I'm not on antidepressants. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. I'm not smoking. I'm not fornicating and pornography and all that. I have a new whole life. Why is that? It's because Jesus fulfilled scripture and he took all my sin and cleansed me up.
Good.
Man, everything man tried to do to help me, just like this woman, everything they tried to do failed and failed and failed and failed. All it took. was for me to reach to Jesus Christ and touch him. Bam! It was over with. You see, I meet people in this room today, and be honest with yourself, don't be afraid of who you are. You are who you are. Jesus knows that, so don't try to hide from him. You can't hide it.
Right.
I'm just telling you now, who you are in secret, that's who you are.
Sir,
that's right.
Okay? Jesus Christ knows who you are. So don't run from it. Face it.
Good.
You know why? Because the sooner you get to the hem of his garment, the sooner you'll be healed. Right. I'm just telling you that right now. That's a promise he makes.
It's good.
Now, under the Old Testament law, they knew she was dirty. He knew she was dirty. Today, the hem of Jesus' garment is the Word of God. And people need to reach out and touch Jesus and his Word for the healing and cleansing with their issues. Psalm 119:9 says, whither all shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word.
Right.
How do we get cleansed? For those of you who are holding the Bible on your lap or in your hand, that's how you're getting cleansed, right?
Amen.
That's how it's going to become new. That's how you're going to become that one. That's how you're going to become the man, the husband, the mom, the sister, the brother, whatever. That's how you're going to learn. That's how you're... Listen to me. What did David say in Psalm 51? He said, create in me a clean heart. Jeremiah says we have a desperately wicked heart.
That's right.
How can it be clean?
Right.
David understood it when he said, create me a clean heart. Yeah. He's going to give you a new heart. He's going to take that stony heart and he's going to get rid of it. He's going to bring in a fleshly heart. For what? So that you understand his statutes and his commandments.
Thank God.
See what I mean? He gives you that new heart.
There.
David understood that back in Psalm 51. And he said, create me a clean heart. That's something new. When you become a new creature, remember I said that earlier?
Sure.
You're going to get a new heart in that creature.
Amen.
And only God can create that.
That's it.
Amen.
That's right.
That's all there is to it. There is no other way. You see, he knew this. Listen, if I didn't have this in my life, all I'd be is a shipwreck. My life would still, even as a Christian, I'd be a shipwreck. Yeah. Because it's obvious for 40 years I did not know how to run things on my own. Just because I've become a Christian doesn't mean I automatically know how to run things on my own. I still need what he has to tell me. I still need to hear a preaching. I still need the prayers of the brothers. I still need to read my Bible. Because if I did not, then I'd run my life into I'd shipwreck my life.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. People are no longer reaching for Jesus or his word, but they're turning to drugs and sex and alcohol, medication, religion, perverted versions of the Bible, that they're trying to bring God down to the level. They don't want the cleansing, forgiveness, or to be made whole that what Jesus has to offer. Repentance and salvation is more than just a mere change in the outward, but the inward. How are people really know when they're alone what really goes on in them? Do they really have hope? Is their conscience really clean? Are they really settled? It looks good when you come to church. You go, oh no, I'm all good. But let me ask you something. When the preacher's preaching, or you're home alone, how's your conscience really? What are you really thinking about? What's really going on? What are you hearing? What's your eyes seeing? What's really going on? Do you ever think that God's trying to reveal something to you? Are you too busy trying to run it or cover it up? I'm just telling you. How do I know that? Because I went through it. The Lord would show me something, and I said, no, that's not me. It is me. Ask my wife, I'd be in absolute agony seeing where I was.
Right.
But I knew that I had to go there to see that. I had to see myself the way Jesus Christ saw me and the reason that we put him on that cross. If I could not see it the way God wanted me to see it, then how would I ever know where I really was? And how would I ever come to the place of contrition? Do you understand what the place of contrition means? It's more than just being sorry for the little things you do. It's a deep grief for sinning against a holy God.
That's right, boy.
Go look it up. Go look it up and see what it means.
Good.
It's a deep grief for what you've done against a holy God. Zach, I can make you feel bad about the things you do to your mom, your dad. I can make you feel bad, Debbie, for maybe you might slip up and talk to your kids wrong, but that's not what it's all about. It's about what you've done against God, a holy God.
Right. So,
people aren't getting to that point at that altar.
No, sir.
They're not allowed to get there anymore. They need to be allowed to just left alone and let God work. He knows what it's going to take. They can't get there anymore. People look good on the outside. but I'm dead on the inside. The woman reached for the hem of Jesus' garment and was not just cleansed from her issue. Jesus made her whole inside and out. Mm-hmm. He made her whole inside and out. It wasn't just an outward appearance. He cleaned up her inside, like I said before. The dead men's bones. How many people are sitting in this room today? I'm bold. I personally don't care. Just so you know, I'll say what I think I have to say. I know there's people sitting in this church that are full of dead men's bones, but their outsides look real good.
Right.
But you know why I say that? Because Jesus Christ is trying to expose something.
Right.
That's what the preacher's for, to expose that thing. And what it says in James 1:20 is a man, he looks at himself in the mirror. This is what the Bible's like. It shows you what you really are, and then you turn away and forget it. You got to stop turning away and forgetting what Jesus Christ showed you and face that thing. Turn around and face it. Yep, that's what I am.
Right.
Yeah.
You'll be depressed. You'll be sad. You'll be upset. But you know what? There's healing.
Right.
Healing. Pastor used to tell me that all the time. Dale, just face it. Don't run. Stop running. And it'd get me so mad. I'd be like, he'd say, you're nothing but a godless wimp. That's what he called me. I said, I'd blow up my veins out. My wife goes, oh my gosh, she's going to punch him. She'd swear that I was going to knock Pastor John out, you know? And he'd just say, hitting me is not going to change my love for you.
Hey.
He was only telling me the truth.
Sure, that's right.
The truth hurts. It doesn't set you free. You know what the King James Bible says? It makes you free.
That's right.
It's going to happen. It's an outcome that's going to happen. It's outcome. It's not maybe it will, maybe it won't. Make you free means it's going to happen. Jesus Christ is going to have his way when you can face the truth and you face it and understand it. It will make you free. There is no other choice.
Right.
That's what it says.
Sure.
Luke 6:10 says, and looking around upon them all, and I'm going to close with this. He said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored and whole as the other. The man with the withered hand stretched forth his hand towards Jesus and believed that what Jesus' word and got the healing. Look at the man with the withered hand. Jesus Christ didn't touch his hand.
Right.
Jesus Christ said, stretch it forth. He heard his word and healed him. So what happened? He didn't touch his hand, did he?
Right.
He said, stretch forth thine hand.
That's it.
He did what Jesus said and he got the healing. People, you need healing in your life? Stretch forth your hand. Listen to what the Bible's telling you. Listen to what Jesus Christ is telling you. You'll get the healing. He promises that. That guy didn't doubt it. He didn't go, maybe now, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week. Maybe, Mom, maybe I'll try it another time. No, he just went, and it was done. You keep putting off what God's telling you. You keep putting off that little prick that's going on in your heart.
Right.
You go ahead and keep putting that thing off and you see where you end up.
Sir.
One day there won't be no stretching forth of your hand. One day there won't be no reaching the garment. You know what you're going to feel? You're going to feel some angels come and wrap you up and toss you in the lake of fire for eternity. That's what it says. You're not going to jump in and party in hell.
Right.
This is going to bound him hand and foot and he's going to cast him into the lake of fire. This thing is real.
Sir.
Oh, I don't believe that good. Just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it ain't real. Doesn't mean it ain't true. I'm telling you now. He got the healing from listening. Jesus spoke it and it happened. The man didn't turn to a religious crowd standing there. Remember, there was a religious crowd standing there. Read Luke 6:7. It says, and the scribes and Pharisees watched him. That man didn't care what the religious crowd said. When Jesus spoke it, he did it. And that religious crowd, you know what happened then? They got angry at it. Who cares what the religious crowd tells you? You do what Jesus Christ says and you'll be saved. You do what Jesus Christ says and you'll be okay. That religious crowd will try to lead you somewhere else. I can guarantee you that. How do I know? I'm a living testimony of that. My wife's a living testimony of that. You want healing? Forget the religious crowd. Do what Jesus Christ said. That's what this man did. It says in the scribes and the Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he turned to Jesus and believed him over the works of the religious crowd standing there. And when they seen the man's faith and Jesus heal his hand, the religious crowd, they said, they were filled with madness and communed with one another what they might do to Jesus.
Right.
You see that? The man in the Gardenes. crazy man in the tombs, busting the chains and all that. It says that Jesus clothed him and put him in his right mind.
Yep.
What's it say at the end of that, though? And the people were afraid. People were afraid of what Jesus Christ is doing in people's lives. How do I know that? I'm an absolute witness that people are afraid of what Jesus Christ has done to me. They don't believe it.
Right.
They don't believe Jesus Christ can take a person and make something out of a person like that. I'm just telling you right now, I know, I hear what they say. I hear their whispering. I hear their backbiting. I hear all the things that are going on. But I'm just telling you now, listen, Jesus clothed me, put me in my right mind. I'm just telling you right now, he took me from the tombs and being alone, cut myself, and from prisons and shackles and all that stuff. And he made me a free man.
Amen.
And people were afraid of that. My family's afraid of that, Amy. Your family's afraid of that. You think people would run to Jesus Christ or something like that? No, they run from him. You give a good testimony. Dale, you give a good testimony, then why are people running from him?
Right.
Why aren't they running to it? Wouldn't they want this? Wouldn't they want healing? Wouldn't they want healing of their mind and their conscience and their heart? Wouldn't you think people would want that? Well, how, listen, if people in America have it so right, Brother David Vernon, answer me this question. Why they take so many psychotropic pills then?
Right.
You're looking at somebody who was taking 19 a day. 19 psychotropic pills a day to try to keep my mind right. It took the hem of Jesus' garment to make me right. It took his word for me to be able to reach to him.
Right.
It took him knowing and bringing that thing to a cross and then for me to get help. I finally had to see Dale. There's that psychiatrist and he's telling me, Dale, we can't help you anymore. It took me to see that. It took me to hear that to realize the only help I'm ever going to get in this life is Jesus Christ. And I'm here to vouch for you today. The only help I ever got was from Jesus Christ. I don't stand here today because of any man, any woman, or anything on this earth. I stand here today because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of what he did on Calvary for me. A sinner. Lost. Condemned to hell. Only by his grace and his mercy. And can I stand here today? And it's only by him, his grace, I am who I am today.
Right.
Not anything else. So I'm going to close with this. If you will please hear me out, especially young people. Listen, man, the devil hates you. He wants to ruin your life. And I'm talking those who are in their 30s on down, 40s on down. Listen to me. The devil hates you. He wants to ruin your life. He wants to put everything else in front of you. And he's standing there in the hem of his garment. It's waving. There's a big crowd standing there. Everything, that crowd, each person in that crowd is a different thing. It's a drug, or it's a work, or it's a this, or a that. And that crowd trying to stop him from reaching the hem of his garment. But like that lady, are you going to fight through it? Is it going to be worth the healing you're going to get? Are you finally going to stretch forth your hand and listen to what he says and get that healing? Or are you going to continue to let that crowd push you back? And one day you're going to have to pay that price. Let me just say this. That crowd's not going to be there to save you. That money's not going to be there to save you. The drinking, the drugs, it's not going to be there to save you. Your friends and your family, the street people, whoever, they're not going to be there to save you. It says man must face death once, then comes judgment. You'll face that judgment by yourself.
Right.
Please, don't continue to go on without the healing of Jesus Christ. There's many people who give a testimony of what Jesus Christ has done. And he wants to do it for every single person sitting in this room that's lost. Brother, I'm done.